So good morning. My name is Ryan Goblatt. I'm a chief scientist in New Light Technologies in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the first session of the last day. You made it. This session will have three talks. All the talks are related to image analysis, image processing, and extraction of meaningful information from satellite imagery, whether with free satellite data or with free or open source environments. We will have three talks. I will start with this talk on using free satellite data for city resilience. Then Jessica Zimmerman and Stuart Green from Ashton Research Center will talk about extraction of cloud-free images in an AI from a remote sensing archive. And at 10 o'clock, Andrea Aim from GeoSolutions and Jody Garnett from Location Tech will talk about the state of JAI. So I will start with this talk, and I will show how free satellite data can be utilized for a stronger city resilience. This project was done together with the World Bank, three divisions at the bank, the GFDRR, OpenDRI, and the City Resilience Program. So as you all know, urbanization has been a fundamental trend of the past two centuries and the key force that shapes many dimensions in our world. In 2007, for the first time, more people lived in urban areas than in rural areas. And by 2050, more than two-thirds of the population is expected to be urban, with the majority of the increase in Asia and Africa. Now, urbanization obviously has many positive implications. It helps grow economies, it enhances opportunities for education, it can decrease poverty, and in general, it improves living conditions. But on the other hand, it also creates immense challenges to environment and the society by increasing demand for public services, increasing demand for energy, putting pressure on public infrastructure, and increasing floods, urban floods. So just by looking in the past few centuries, we see an increase in the frequency and in the severity of natural disasters. For example, by looking at floods, we can see that more and more cities, especially in the developing world, are more and more exposed to urban flooding. And by 2030, 40% of the global urban land will be in high frequency flood zones. In parallel, more and more structures and population are affected by these events. And you can see a constant increase in the number of housing units that are damaged due to these events. This is just one example of the consequences of major flood events. This event occurred earlier this year in May in Kampala, Uganda. With eight people being killed, hundreds of buildings destroyed, and property valued in billions was destroyed. And the image that you can see here in the top left, it went viral during this event with 300 chickens that were rescued during the this flood event. So to address all these changes, the climate change and the challenges that we as a society face, in 2015, all United Nations members adopted 17 sustainable goals that call for a global partnership to address all these challenges. One of these goals is goal number 11, when we heard about this goal in a few previous sessions, which talks specifically about building urban resilience. And one of the targets in this goal says that by 2030, we should reduce the number of deaths and the number of people affected by disasters, decrease the direct economic losses due to these disasters, and focus on the protecting the poor and the people in the in vulnerable situations in the cities. So in this talk, I want to focus on one dimension, on urban flooding. And there are different methods to track floods in cities, whether it's by stream gauges, whether it's by crowdsourcing. There are different apps that can capture flood events and depth of floods, and different flood monitoring systems. And this data, after it is collected, it is being disseminated through web applications, story maps, and by other means to the citizens. and to governments and cities to help them better prepare for future major flood events. On the other hand, there are more and more satellite data, including free satellite data, that is constantly being collected from every location on Earth. Currently, there are close to 2,000 satellites that constantly orbit Earth and collect data. More than 600 of them are designed specifically for Earth observation and science. And they collect data in various spectral, spatial, and temporal resolution. And again, some of the data, or many sources of the data, are publicly available and free. Higher resolution will obviously be more expensive. For flood events, we usually use the optical imagery and the SAR data, which can penetrate the cloud coverage. And I will show how we use Sentinel-1 and Sentinel-2 together to map flood events in cities. Now, I think that there are four trends in the satellite industry. First, more and more countries provide open satellite data, which is made publicly available to researchers, academics, for governments, and for cities, again, to better prepare and improve city resilience and planning, sustainable planning. In addition, there are more and more satellites that are being launched. The satellites are becoming smaller, which means that they are less expensive, which means that they are able to collect, we are able to launch more and more satellites that will collect data from every location on Earth in even higher resolution than previously. In addition, the price of the satellite data is decreasing, which allows more accessibility to these data sets. And as a result, more and more open satellite data are being downloaded and utilized by researchers, universities, and cities and governments. So these are the main four trends in the satellite industry. And all this data that is being collected, and Landsat is only one satellite that has been collecting data since the 1970, is archived. And it helps us understand how Earth is changing. Whether changes in flood vulnerability, water extent, expansion of urban areas and cities, deforestation processes. All these time lapses that you see were done in Google Earth engine. And I will talk a little bit about it. In addition, these sources of satellite data, including the free satellite data, can be used for city resilience. For example, using this data, we can map built-up land cover in cities and see how cities expand and evolve. We can map green spaces and vegetation in cities and see how they are related to flood events, for example, and accessibility of the public to open and green spaces in the city. We can also map bodies of water, persistent water, or flood events. Forest cover and see how urbanization is related to deforestation, flooded areas during major flood events, economic activity using nighttime light data, and overlay all of this data with infrastructure data in roads to see how they are all related to the infrastructure in the cities and how, for example, flood events challenge the infrastructure of developing cities. Earlier this year, in June 2019, the World Bank, together with other organizations, organized the Madrid Resilience Planning Workshop with around 30 participating cities, with the goal to help cities package, prioritize, and design resilience-enhancing investment. The data, one of the main tools that were used during this workshop is the CityScan, which is basically a package of geospatial information that was created mainly with publicly available data sets and with open source tools. All of these products were used to help cities better understand how they can prioritize investment in infrastructure. Some of the layers that were created in the city scans are population demographic trends, city competitiveness and economic growth, built form, local institutions and planning, and others. As you saw, there were many layers that were created in the city scan. In this talk, I just really briefly want to discuss one of the dimensions that we analyzed in the CT scan, which is urban flooding. And there were four main questions that we addressed. One is which parts of the cities, of these 30 or close to 40 cities, experience frequent flooding? What is the relation between flood risk and urban economic activity? How are floods related to green spaces and open spaces in the city? And how urbanization, which results in deforestation, is also related to increased flood events. These were the main four challenges that we tried to answer or help the cities better understand. We only used three geospatial data sets. So for example, Sentinel-1, Sentinel-2, Landsat, DMSP-OLS, which collects nighttime light data, VIRS, which also collects nighttime light data. We also used existing classification products, for example, the deforestation product of Matt Hansen from UND. The analysis was done in Google Earth Engine. Google Earth Engine is not open source, but it is publicly available and free for non-commercial use. It's a platform, a very good platform for geospatial analysis, remote sensing analysis, primarily at scale. Some of the layers that we analyzed is city vulnerability to flooding, green open spaces, parks, gardens, deforestation, and hotspots of economic activity, at least according to the nighttime light data. We had a few requirements. The main requirement was to use only free and publicly available imagery, use robust and well-established methodologies to map these floodings, make sure that these methods will be generalized and applicable to as many cities as possible, provide the bank with the full package of the code, so all the codes that we developed, we delivered to the bank. And the data and the analytical outputs were aggregated to a common special division or a fishnet, as I will show you in a minute. But in general, the idea was to create an openly and shareable package of tools and methodologies that could be adapted easily by the cities. I don't want to delve into all the method and the techniques, just really briefly discussed how we did this project. So to detect the flood events, we did the analysis with Sentinel-1 and Sentinel-2. Sentinel-2 in a special resolution of up to 10 meters, also Sentinel-1. They both collect data from every location on Earth every 5 or a little bit more days. First, we did a literature review where for each of the 30, 40 cities, we looked for any major flood events that occurred since 2015. And why 2015? Because Sentinel-2 is available from 2015. So we did a literature review, identified all the major flood events. We created a baseline image of a non-flood state in each city, both based on Sentinel-1 and Sentinel-2. Then, for each major flood event, we mapped the flood extent during this event. Sentinel-1, we detected difference in the backscatter signal. It's a radar-based, generally speaking. And with Sentinel-2, we detected differences in AWEI, or the automatic water extraction index. Then we created an aggregated flood vulnerability, as I will show you in a minute. Just to look at one flood event in Lima, Peru, you can see that this is how we can capture the flood event with Sentinel-2. You can see here the difference between the flood state and the non-flood state, which was detected as flood event. Also with Sentinel-1, we can see differences in the backscatter signal, which allows us to extract these flooded areas during this specific flood event. All the flood events, all the major flood events of all the cities were aggregated into a common fishnet, so each cell here in the fishnet has the frequency of flood events over the last 4 years. This allowed us to extract all these clusters of areas that experienced major flood events during these last 5 years. We also mapped open and green spaces. Again, using Sentinel-2, we relied on the well-known NDVI index. We identified the threshold of all the pixels because, you know, in NDVI, the value range from -1 to 1, and there's always a question, how do you create from it a binary map of green spaces? We created the threshold, so we calculated all the, we detected all the green spaces in each city. We aggregated all this data into this common fishnet and calculated for each cell the percentage of green space in the cell compared to built-up land cover as measured by the global human settlement layer. We also detected hotspot of economic activity. We used two satellite data to measure nighttime light data. One is DMSP OLS, which is available since 1992 to 2013, and VIRS, which collects nighttime light data in higher spatial resolution and more frequently. You can see here just the difference between a pixel of DMSP OLS and a pixel of VIRS. And this difference, it can also be visible here. So my point in this slide is that when you use VIRS, you are also able to detect in very high resolution hotspots of economic activity in the city, and which neighborhoods in the city are more or less developed or economically developed. There are different methods to measure, to use nighttime lights to measure economic activity. One is sum of light, which is basically you aggregate the value of the pixels into a common spatial division. And this value represents, in general, how much light is emitted in the unit of analysis. The other approach which we adopted here is a slope of change. We collect the data, the nighttime light data of each pixel in each location every month, and we record the slope of change in the economic activity to see which areas increased more dramatically or less dramatically than others, according to the slope of the change across time. So some of the things that we can understand from this data, and I don't have time to go into all the results. So for example, how expansion of urban areas are related to urban flood risk zones. And we found that in many cases, it is well known urban areas are developing along streams and channels and floodplains, which obviously cause an increased vulnerability to the cities. How flood events are related to deforestation, and as expected, there are more floods in areas that have been deforested since 2000. How flood events are related to open spaces and green spaces. It is known that green spaces are able to absorb more water and decrease the risk of floods. On the other hand, we did find in many cases static water, stable water in these open and green spaces. And also how flood events are related to economic activity. We also found the increased flooding in economically developed areas. It's not that only less developed areas are flooded more frequently, the opposite. Areas that have been more developed, maybe more paved areas or more structures, show more flood events and higher frequency. So to summarize, cities, especially in developing countries, are becoming increasingly vulnerable to climate change and natural disasters. In order to help them maintain sustainable, they must rely on geospatial data to prioritize and design resilience-enhancing investments. Free satellite data, whether it's Sentinel, whether it's Landsat, even MODIS in some cases, nighttime light data, are becoming increasingly available, and together with free cloud-based computational platforms such as Google Earth Engine and or others, it is now possible to analyze this data in close to real time and inform cities about how they can prioritize investment in infrastructure. Free satellite image resources are still underexploited. And we need to continue developing the tools to extract meaningful information from these sources. In addition, I think that we need to improve the way we communicate this data. So currently, the city scans are a bunch of maps, PDF maps, that were discussed during the workshop. I think that in the future of this will be to create a story map, whether, you know, preferably with publicly available and open source solutions, to communicate this data and also allow cities to perform basic analysis. So thank you very much, and I'm open to questions.